Pat asked me to share on the Midwest Women's Ministry, and I thought what I would do, I'd like to take a few minutes at the very beginning and share with you a little bit about how God has led in my life, and then I'll tell you a little bit about the Midwest Women's Ministry. I became a Christian when I was 11. I thought I was a Christian as a little girl because I thought everyone in the United States who believed in God was automatically a Christian. But a neighbor girl invited my sister and me to a young people's meeting in a Bible preaching church. And we had a good time there and we kept going back. And as I heard the gospel and realized that I wasn't automatically a Christian, that sometime in my life I had to respond to Christ, the Spirit of God worked in my heart, and I believe it was on a New Year's Eve when I invited Christ into my life. Well, I had some doubts after that, but I can remember walking home from church one evening and praying and telling the Lord that I thought I had done that. I thought I had invited him into my life before, but just in case I hadn't, I wanted to invite him in then. And I really haven't had any doubts about my salvation since then. I became very active in that church, and I believe I was about 14 when I felt that I wanted my life to be available for the Lord to use. So when I graduated from high school, I thought, well, what do you do if you want your life to be available to the Lord? Well, to me, the natural thing was to go to Bible school, and that's what I did. Our pastor's daughter, who was a close friend of mine, had gone to Northwestern in Minneapolis, and she was a year older than I, and she kept writing back and telling me about the good times that she was having there, and so talked me into going to Northwestern. And it was at Northwestern where I met the Navigators. And it was about a year after I had been in school. And, you know, I felt that I would find answers in Bible school. But once I got there, I realized that there was still that emptiness. And it was just like I was not really satisfied as a Christian. But then I heard about the NAVs, and I enrolled in a course that was offered at Northwestern called Bible Study. And the first thing the NAV rep did was to teach us how to have a quiet time. And my life changed as a result of that class. Now, my roommate and I had taken pride in the fact that we could get out of bed at 7 o'clock and be in our first class at 7:20 in the morning. I'm sure you realize we didn't have time for a quiet time. And so our lives did change. And also, we had heard that the best hours of sleep were between 10 at night and 2 in the morning. And we wanted to spend more time with the Lord. So what we did, we'd go to bed at 10, and then we'd set the alarm for 2, and we'd get up in the morning and spend as much time as we wanted to with the Lord, and then go back to bed and get up in time for our class. Well, I can remember on some of those mornings, I'd look at my watch and it'd be 4:30, and it just seemed as though I'd spent a few hours with the Lord. But I felt that my soul was really parched, and I was really starved to really get to know the Lord. But, of course, that didn't last too long because, you know, it's hard enough getting out of bed once a day without having to get out of bed twice a day. When I was 19, I reaffirmed my commitment to serve the Lord. In fact, I prayed that if I could bring more glory to the Lord by being single, then I was willing to be single for his sake. And it looks like he may have taken me up on that. But, you know, as I look back on my life and the way God has led, I can honestly say I have no regrets at how he has led. And I must confess there have been times when I've asked myself, well, would I be as happy as I am now if I were married? But then there are those other times that I get so tired of working with women that I think, Lord, where is he? Send him quick. You know, Paul Tournier says in one of his books that there are privileges and servitudes in every walk of life. The problem is that very often we look at only the privileges of another person and we wish that we were in their shoes. After graduating from Northwestern, I wanted to tie in closer with the NAVs, and so a few months after graduating, I was asked to be a secretary for one of the NAV men in Washington, D.C. Well, I was still interested in going overseas. And a couple years later, the Lord opened the door for me to go to the Far East as secretary to the Far East director, who was Roy Robertson. at that particular time. I thought I was going out to Japan for 3 years, but I ended up being over there almost 4 years, 13 months in Japan, 15 months in Taiwan, and 15 months in Hong Kong. You know, before I left the States, I had gone back to Detroit. I grew up in southern Michigan, and my family lived about 100 miles from Detroit. And I went back for just a few months to work in Detroit and be able to go home on weekends before I went overseas. And when I told them that I would be leaving, I'd only worked there about 6 months when I told them, they tried to persuade me to keep on working for them. And they said that if I would keep on working for them in 2 years, they would give me 7 weeks vacation with pay so I could go to Europe. I think they thought that that would be a type of attraction that would keep me there. And then they said in the meantime, they'd help me find my own apartment and get a car and all these attractions. But you know, when I was in Hong Kong and it was time for me to come back to the States, the Lord worked it out for a missionary friend of mine who was in Taiwan, who wanted to come the long way around. And we figured out the expenses and found out that we could get on an Italian liner for the same price that we could fly back, because they gave a discount. So we got on the ship in Hong Kong, and we stopped in Singapore for a day and a half, and Ceylon, which is now Sri Lanka, Bombay, Pakistan, Aden. And instead of going through the Suez Canal, we made a side trip into Cairo, and I rode a camel to the pyramids and the Sphinx, which is quite interesting. But the exciting thing, I relate this story to you to show you that even though I feel like the enemy threw out a rather attractive offer before I went overseas, yet as I obeyed the Lord, His way was the best, and He actually threw in a round-the-world trip. And I feel like that has been the story of my life, that as I have obeyed the Lord, that He has done above and beyond my wildest dreams, really. Now, when I came back to the States, I worked in the NAB office, which was here on the Glen, which is now the IO office. And a couple of years later, I was asked to go to Minneapolis to work with the girls there and to take Lou Stevens' place, who was interested in going to Japan. In 1973, Bob Sheffield asked me if I would move to the Chicago area and coordinate with him the women's work in the Midwest. And I'm very grateful for the interest that the men in the Midwest have in seeing that women get training and in seeing women laborers raised up. It's been exciting to co-labor with them. Now, we presently have 16 staff women in the Midwest. We have 13 involved in the collegiate ministry and 3 in the community ministry. Last year, we sent 3 women overseas, or I should say 2 overseas and 1 to Canada. Carol Ross, a woman's representative, went to Indonesia, and Karen Cameron, who's a contact staff, went to Japan, and then Andy Masted was asked to go to the University of Western Ontario in Canada. You know, one of the complications in working with women is the number that we lose to marriage. Now, I think you understand what I'm saying when I speak about losing them to marriage. I've never been able to convince our directors to send a couple where we need the woman. You know, and for a few years, it seemed that the women were getting married as fast as we could train them. Now, I was delighted that the men found our women staff attractive, but it was devastating, really, to the women's ministry. So one of our staff men in the region suggested that we ask for a 4-year commitment from the women, that they come into our staff training apartments for 2 years of training, and then they go out to campus for 2 years. And after the first shock waves ended, and as you can imagine, and the girls began to think and pray about this, many of them did respond, and they wanted to commit themselves for this 4 years. And I know a lot of people have misunderstood that, but it's been my experience that you don't sacrifice to anything for the Lord's sake without receiving in abundance as well. And I believe that these girls are not going to miss out on what God has for them. In fact, in the Midwest, we have a pretty good record of girls in their late 20s getting married. And see, what we want to do really is to get away from the idea that once you become a woman's staff person or work with women, that you will do that for the rest of your life. And this kind of gives a cutoff point. Now, this doesn't mean that at the end of the 2 years back on a campus, if they don't want to stay, I mean, if they want to stay, of course, and there's no one interested in them, then we'd be glad for them to continue on. But we do evaluate and see, you know, what how the Lord is leading them. And this fall, we will have 5 more women going on staff, and the following year, we will have 4. And we started this program 2 years ago, and so some of the women who came into our apartments are just now going out on their 2-year campus experience. Now, I doubt whether many people understand what we mean when we talk about a training apartment. And I thought what I would do is try to give you a little information, at least as far as what we do in the Midwest region. Now, I have a overhead here, transparency, I mean, that I would, about the profile of someone, one of our women going into the apartment. Generally, it's 1 year out of college. We would like a disciple maker, perhaps a choice D2. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with a D2, but that's a disciple who is investing in at least one person's life. And then we need to see that there's evidence that God's hand is on her in the ministry. And then basic physical and emotional maturity, able to cope with the normal demands of life. And she demonstrates personal initiative and openness to learn. And then the commitment to be a multiplying laborer for 4 years. A willingness to commit herself for 2 years of training and for 2 years of ministry with the NAVS. And a willingness to postpone developing a serious relationship leading to marriage. Willingness to work at a job which allows training in ministry to be a priority. Now, we presently have 3 staff trainers in our region for the collegiate ministry, and we have 1 for the community ministry. Now, I have another transparency on the objectives of a staff training apartment. First of all, to encourage and deepen, I don't know if you can see that, encourage and deepen spiritual growth of women. We want them to have a strong personal walk with God, and soundness of doctrine. We do some doctrinal studies in our apartments, and we want them to have a vision to see that God can really use their lives in reaching other women. And then to develop Christ-like character. These, I would say, are the main things that I would like to see in a woman who has been in one of our training apartments. I'm sure you realize that all of us are basically selfish, and when we live together, many times this comes out more than if we're by ourselves. And I have 5 roommates back in Chicago, so with 6 of us living together, different personalities, you can imagine that it is a learning situation for all of us. But one of the things, we want the girls who are moving in to our training apartments to really know what they're getting into. You know, sometimes it's easy. Well, I've discovered that people want to be trained, but they don't want to go through the process of being trained. And sometimes it can be painful, although I feel, too, that I want people to know that when my roommates come home at night, they don't snap, you know, as soon as the door closes, they don't snap to attention, and we have this little program going on. But I feel that it is their home as well as mine, and I want them to want to come home and to really enjoy living there. And I feel it's very important to work on the area of character in a woman's life, because I feel that when you minister to other women, women are very sensitive to the spirit of other women. And if your life doesn't back up what you're saying, then it's much harder to share Christ with people. And so we feel that it's important for them to really back up what they're preaching, you might say. And then also, I put an emphasis on the balanced life. I don't want the girls who are living with me to be involved in ministry all the time, because I feel that a balanced life is a much more attractive life. And I feel that people who are so involved in think ministry 24 hours a day, say for 2 or 3 years, very often they burn out. And they're not that interested, really, in investing in people's lives after that. And I feel like I want the girls in the Midwest to be involved in reaching women for the rest of their lives, whether they're married or single. And so it's important to me that they enjoy what they're doing. And I feel that some of the things that we cover in our training apartment is good preparation for marriage as well. In fact, I've had several of the men who have married, girls that have lived with me, come and thank me for the investment that I've made in their wives' lives. Then to train in areas of personal and social development, the area of appearance. And I think sometimes people or women can spend too much time on their appearance, and we need a balance in there. And usually the thing I tell the girls is I want them to spend as much time in front of the mirror of God's Word as they do in front of the mirror in the morning. And then personal organization, helping them with budget and priorities. Etiquette, helping them to know what to do. Because I've discovered that if I know what to do in a situation, it enables me to forget myself and to focus on others. But if you don't know what to do, then you're worried about yourself. Interpersonal relationships. I feel it's very important to work on getting along with people. And the one thing that I remember about being overseas was how many missionaries couldn't get along with one another. And that was a shock to me, to think that here are missionaries overseas and they can't get along with one another. And we do need to work on those interpersonal relationships. And then basic domestic skills as far as keeping a home and hospitality. And then to equip for the ministry of reaching others. And that involves evangelism, that they know how to lead an evangelistic Bible study. Of course, they know how to lead someone to the Lord and so forth. Establishing to how to follow up a new Christian, equipping would be the discipling. And then we go over a few things on leadership. One thing the girls move in with me, I talk to them. I try to explain what they're getting into, and then I also ask them if they would keep their eyes on my strengths rather than on my weaknesses. Because, you know, and I tell them if they're looking for the perfect leader, why, he's in heaven. And but if I know what the enemy will try to do, especially when we live together, he will try to get us to focus, or even when we work together, he will try to get us to focus on a person's weaknesses. And when we focus on their weaknesses, then we tend to lose our respect for them. And I feel for me to make the best investment in the lives of the girls, that they need to respect me. And so I just encourage them. If they're looking for weaknesses, they will find them. But I just ask them to try to keep their eyes on my strengths. And then perhaps you're wondering, well, now how do you go over all of these things? It's not all one-on-one. Some of it would be one-on-one. Some would be through Bible studies that we do together, through group discussion. We have a family night once a night when we get together. We may discuss a topic or just sitting around the table or some special event or our everyday relationships. Now I have a profile out what the girl should really look like as she goes out. First of all, she should have a disciplined personal walk with the Lord, because if she's not disciplined in her walk with the Lord, how can she really challenge other people? Then, growing maturity in character, conduct, speech, discernment, and confidence in the sovereignty of God. Then she demonstrates healthy attitudes toward male leadership. And there are certain things that I go over with the girls to prepare them for working with men. And you men might be interested in knowing a couple of things. In other words, the advice I give to them is that don't ever talk to a man about something very important when he's tired, hungry, or has something else on his mind. I mentioned this to one of the Midwest staff wives one time, and she said, well, what other time is there? But there are those other times. And I've also suggested that when they talk with the staff man that they cut out about 95% of the detail that they'd like to try, or they'd like to tell the person. Because I know in relating with some of the men that I've related with, I can just kind of see them fading out as I get into too much detail. You men don't know what you're missing by not wanting detail, but anyway. And one thing, we want her, oh, I mentioned that we want her to really have healthy attitudes toward male leadership. And I don't want them to be yes people, because that doesn't help our staff men at all. And I feel like she needs to be honest and to give him the feedback of what she's picking up from the students. And she needs to give him the input, but then she also needs to let him make the decisions and abide by the decisions that he makes. And of course, we all know that that's where it gets tough sometimes. But that's why she needs to believe in the sovereignty of God also. And see, I believe that the Lord wants us to work together in harmony. And I feel like in today's sick world that we need to demonstrate to the world that godly men and women can work together in harmony. There's a verse in Ephesians 4:16 in the Living that says, under his direction, the whole body is fitted together perfectly. Each part in its own special way helps the other parts so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And I feel that God has made us to complement one another, not to compete against each other, and that we can learn from one another. And I know that every man I've ever worked for has added to my life. And by the grace of God, I like to think that I've added to their lives as well. Then, as a result of experience and training, she has to date evidence that she demonstrates an attractive lifestyle personally and in her living situation, reflecting a standard of excellence. That she is with the NAVS in heart, has recruited women to herself, to Christ, and to the NAVS, can initiate and do the basic NAV ministry of evangelizing, establishing, and equipping, and is willing to earn her own living or raise partial support. Usually our staff women who go out, we ask them to work a couple of days a week. You know, when you give yourselves to people all the time, it can be very demanding emotionally. And we have found that sometimes if they work for a couple of days a week, that that's a good outlet for them. And it's just kind of good to get away from the ministry involvement. My job in the Midwest has been to train staff women and also to travel to different areas of the Midwest to encourage our staff women and to share with the girls that they have involved in their campus ministry and to get to know the young women who are coming up in our work. And as I've worked with women, one of the things I have prayed is that the Lord would enable me to see the potential of the girls. Sometimes, you know, we see the things, certain things in their life, and we tend to forget the tremendous potential that people have. And I have discovered that people very often turn out the way I expect them to. Because even though I may not say anything to them, yet my spirit communicates to them whether or not I believe that they can do something. And I believe that God is looking for men and women who are available and who will claim his promises. You know, sometimes the less gifted you are, it seems that the more God can reveal his glory as he pours his strength and his spirit into you. In fact, it reminds me of one time when I was working as a secretary in Washington, D.C., I discovered a letter in the file. And in it, the man that I was working for had evaluated me, and he mentioned that he thought that I probably would not be used that much in working with women. Well, as I read that letter, you know, it didn't mean anything because I wasn't that interested at that particular time in working with women anyway. But I remember the thing I did pray was that I told the Lord I wanted my life to be available to him, and whatever he wanted me to do, I was willing to do. And it's kind of interesting now as I think back on that letter. And it encourages me to encourage others that God can use. If God can use my life, then he can use your life as well. Now, I'd like to mention just a couple of things that I emphasize with the girls that we are helping. I feel it's very important that they develop their walk with the Lord and they get their roots down deep in the Lord, and that they find their personal satisfaction in him It's so easy for single women to think that marriage is the answer, and once I get married, then I will be satisfied. Well, I think it's obvious from the divorce rate today that marriage is not necessarily the answer. And the scripture brings out that only Jesus Christ can satisfy those deep inner needs that we have, and how important it is that we look to Him to satisfy us. And I want their ministry to be a result of their abiding in Christ and not their own striving to produce fruit. It's a lot more fun when you abide in Christ and expect Him to give you the fruit. One time in Minneapolis, our pastor shared that God has no favorites, but He does have intimates, and we determine whether or not we will be one of His intimates. And it's up to us and how we respond. Are we willing to respond to His love and draw near to Him? And another thing I emphasize is the importance of finding our security in the Lord and standing on the promises of God. Sometimes it's easy to look to an organization, or it's easy to look to people. I can remember as a younger Christian, I was looking to this one couple. And to me, I had never met anyone who lived like Christ as that young couple. But you know, it wasn't long and my idols came tumbling down. And so many times that's what happens when we get our eyes focused on people, that we are disappointed. But as long as we look to Jesus Christ, there is no disappointment. In Ephesians 1, I think it's in verse 4, probably in the King James, it brings out how we are accepted by God in Christ. And I feel like we need to have that phrase burned into our minds, that we are accepted by God, not because of what we are or what we do, but we are accepted by God in Christ because of what He has done for us. And as God has blessed my life, I prayed that God would help me to keep Jesus Christ central in my life. I think sometimes it's easy when God gives you fruit to look to that fruit for satisfaction instead of really keeping our eyes focused on Him. And one of the verses, or a couple of verses that God has used in my life, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18. And in the New International Version, it says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. And I've prayed at different times that the Lord, and I've told the Lord, if He wants to take away all the fruit that He's given me, that's fine. But the one thing I want to do is to find my joy and delight in the Lord alone and not in the people that He has brought around. You know, one of the greatest rewards of my job is to see God or watch God change the lives of the young women who are around. I have seen a girl become a Christian and begin to walk with the Lord, and then to see how she becomes interested in helping someone else. And pretty soon she can do the same thing that I am doing. And it's very rewarding to see God work in the lives of people in this way. And so many times I have shared with some of the women, and I've mentioned that what I'm trying to do is to work myself out of a job, to help someone else to do what I'm doing, and then God will perhaps lead me to do something else. And it is very rewarding to watch God work, not only in their lives, but in my own life, and to know that He can change our lives. I think sometimes we have the attitude, well, this is the way I am, and I can't do anything about it. And I know sometimes in our apartment, I've had some girls who were kind of moody, and it's not too much fun living with them. And I remember one day this one girl came home from work, and she was a nurse, so she had gotten up early in the morning to go to work and had come home early in the afternoon. Well, she walked in and gave this grumpy hi. Well, I let her get away with it the first day. But then the second day, I thought, now, wait a minute, what's going on here? And I mentioned something to her about, you know, I said, well, can't you, you know, say, give a civil greeting? And she said, well, I'm sorry, this is the way I am, and I can't help it. And I knew at that particular time she was interested in a certain fellow from a university a few miles away. And I asked her, I said, do you mean to tell me that if so-and-so walked through that front door right now, you couldn't change your attitude? And see, we all know that she could. When I mention that when I'm sharing with all girls, they all kind of laugh about that because everyone knows that we can change. But the problem is many times that we don't want to. And to challenge girls to be their very best for the Lord is an exciting job. And I'm grateful to the Lord for the way He has led, and He is the faithful one. So thanks for letting me share with you.